أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحات سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أنقض الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبت في الأرض والسماء، ولو الله لصاحت الأرض بأحدها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. وأيضا قال في مقام آخر: كذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. صلوات
الله على محمد وعلى محمد.
Congratulations to all of you on this great occasion of the birth of our beloved Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
The Prophet with his the most perfect madhar and reflection of all the asma, the names and all the sifat, the attributes of Allah. And how Imam al-Rahil, Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayh, has mentioned in his book Misbah al-Hidayah that, as a matter of fact, all the previous Anbiya and Mursaleen have been sent by Allah to pave the way and as a tamheed for the arrival of the most perfect messenger. And all the previous Anbiya and Mursaleen were inviting the people towards the final messenger, because there is no one other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Among all the Anbiya and Mursaleen, who displays and exhibits and shows and reflects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the sifat and asma of Allah to its fullest and most perfect form. That is the reason why our Prophet is the most beloved of Allah. And I would like to tonight shed some light on this verse of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning of my speech. كذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. Just like about the matter of Qibla, the way we are turning you towards the new Qibla, similarly, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, we made you the ummat, which is the mediocre, and wasat, in the middle, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you can be witnesses over the people. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا, and the messenger can be witness over you. This is one of the greatest fawa'il of Rasulullah. If we start counting, we cannot count his fawa'il, and we cannot count the fawa'il and manaqib of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. But when our scholars mention their fawa'il, this fadilat of Rasulullah is one of the greatest of all of his fadail. Before we get to the tafsir of that ayat, we should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested his messenger with all the different kinds of tests, and Prophet succeeded in every test that he was subjected to by Allah. And Prophet faced the harshest and the hardest of the masaib and mashakil as compared to all the previous anbiya. There isn't any Prophet of God which faced as many mashakil and masaib and zahamat and hardships as our Holy Prophet faced. And he has mentioned himself that مَا أُوذِيَ نَبِيٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أُوذِيْتُ, no Prophet was ever tortured or teased or annoyed as much as I was annoyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given different miracles to different Prophets. Some of the Prophet had one, some had more than one miracles. But all the miracles of all the previous prophets were given in the combined form to the most superior messenger, Khatam al-Mursaleen, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what the Holy Prophet was given in addition to the previous prophets, none of the previous prophets were ever given that addition of the miracle. And since he is the most superior, and it is logically and Islamically understandable that he has to go through all those hardships. So his father died away before his birth, and his mom died away in the age of 6. When they were returning back from the ziyarat of the qabr of his father. And his grandfather, Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, salamullahi alayh, was the one who was taking care of the Holy Prophet in that duration, until his grandfather, Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, also passed away when Prophet was in the age of 8. So these are the various hardships that Prophet had faced, and these are all making him more and more successful in the eyes of Allah as he is going through all these hardships. And finally, when his grandfather Hazrat Abdul Muttalib salamullah alayhi, he passed away, Hazrat Abu Talib salamullah alayhi took care of the Holy Prophet. And this is what Allah refers in the Holy Quran, أَلَمْ جِدِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, didn't he find you an orphan, so he provided refuge to you. So Allah provided the refuge through Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salam. And وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, and Allah found you an a'il person. Prophet didn't have no money, and Allah made him rich, of course, through the sarwat and ghina and the wealth of Hazrat Khadija salamullahi alayha. So Prophet did not feel the gap and the vacuum, because of course, you know, his father was not there, and this is a very big test from Allah. His mother was not there, and this is another very big test from Allah. But Hazrat Abu Talib used to make the Prophet sleep in the best of the situation and places in his house, and treat him in the best ways, and we find that because of this great treatment of Hazrat Abu Talib, Prophet was very comfortable during his orphanage, during the time duration of him being the orphan. And when on the occasion of the 17th of Rabiul Awwal, that means the Prophet was born on the morning time in the Friday of 17th of Rabiul Awwal, in the Amul Fil, you know, and the first Amul Fil. And at that occasion, we find that the Holy Prophet, when he was born, the first thing he said was, La ilaha illallah. And when Prophet said the statement of Tawheed, he announced the Tawheed of Allah right after his birth. The hadith says that everything in the universe replied back to the statement, to the voice of the Prophet. Everything replied back, La ilaha illallah, to the Holy Prophet. Of course, even if we were there, we may not listen to those voices of Alamul Malakut, but that's a reality. There are lots of other things that we don't see. None of those things actually we see from the Alamul Malakut. And so this is exactly what happened. And also it has been narrated in the authentic history that the magic of all the magicians existing on earth became batil and useless and inoperative at the time of the birth of Holy Prophet. And we believe in our Shia belief system and Ilmul Kalam that a prophet can never be subjected to the magic. Magic can never impact any prophet or messenger or any imam or deputy of the messenger. Because if that is the case, then basically the whole Risalat and Imamat and Walayat will become batil, even though it may become batil for a few moments, a few days, a few weeks. But even if it becomes batil for a second or a fraction of a second, it's something which is going to harm the existence of the entire universe. So, and the whole universe would collapse, you know, لَوْلَا الْحُجَّةِ لَسَاخَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِأَحْلِهَا. If the Hujjat is not the Hujjat of Allah, whether in the form of the messenger, or in the form of a Nabi, or in the form of an Imam, the wasi of a prophet or a messenger, in any form, if the Hujjat is not there for a while, the whole or the earth with all its dwellers would be destroyed. So this is impossible. And at the time of birth, Allah displayed, this is another miracle of the birth of the Holy Prophet. You know, if you look at this, Bahrani, rahmatullah alayh, one of a very great mujtahideen and muhaddithin, who was mu'asir, who was a contemporary to Allama Majlisi, rahmatullah alayh. He was in the same time of Allama Majlisi. So he was from Bahrain. So basically, Muhaddis Bahrani has a very great, several great books, and one of those is Madinatul Ma'ajiz. Madinatul Ma'ajiz is a huge book. I had the old print of Madinatul Ma'ajiz, you know, which is this much thick and this much huge in its size. So it's a very huge book, and in that book he has it. Madinatul Ma'ajiz means the city of miracles. So he has combined all the miracles of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, which are found in the history, he has compiled in this great book. So if you want to know about any miracle of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt,
you can just turn to Madinatul Ma'ajiz, which is like an encyclopedia of miracles and the reference point in our Islamic belief system. So we find that all the idols found anywhere on earth, worshipped by any nation or any group of people, drop down at the time of the birth of the, at the sa'at of the birth of the Holy Prophet, and they were destroyed. And all the muluk and salatin and the kings and emperors throughout the world at the time of the birth of Holy Prophet were basically in tahayyur and in the situation of you can say they were anxious and in an extraordinary anxiety and situation of tahayyur and hayrat, and they didn't know what was happening to them. So basically it was an alarm bell for all the Salatin and emperors at the time of the birth of the Holy Prophet. And likewise, another sign which has been mentioned in the history, that Atishkadeh-e-Fars, the Temple of Silence, how they call it, the Zoroastrians in Persia in those days before the advent of Islam, the Majusi people in Fars, they used to worship the fire, and they had this temple where they used to lit the fire, and the fire was lit since hundreds of years, you know, and that fire which was kept there since hundreds of years became extinguished automatically at the time of the birth of Holy Prophet. These are all madahir of shirk. Whether it's Salatin, or it's the idols, or the fire of the Majus and Atish Parast people, these are all madahir and madhar of shirk and kufr. And so these are the things that, these are some of the things which happened at the time of the Holy Prophet's birth. And now coming back to the ayat which I would like to discuss tonight, upon the birth of the Holy Prophet, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Just like we turned your qibla for you, Muslims used to pray towards Baytul Muqaddas or Baytul Maqdis. It can be pronounced in both the ways. So Muslims used to pray towards Baytul Muqaddas, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to test the iman of the believers and to differentiate between a mu'min and a rare mu'min, and to test the iman of the people and test who is obedient towards the Prophet and who is not obedient towards the Holy Prophet, Allah knew, but we didn't know. The people, the society didn't know. The society couldn't differentiate because people are, you know, they are ignorant, and they could not differentiate. So Allah changed the qibla all of a sudden during the prayers while the Prophet was praying, and Imam Ali, and of course when Prophet changed his direction from Baytul Muqaddas towards Makkah, everybody is supposed to pray behind the Holy Prophet and do what the Imam of the Muslimin is doing, but people didn't do that except Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the prayers of everyone else standing other than Imam Ali alayhi salam became batil. So Imam Ali says in one of his khutbas that ana musallil qiblatayn, I am the one who prayed at both the qiblas. Prayed at both the qiblas means that prayed that specific prayer behind Rasulullah in which he prayed towards two qiblas. Because the ayat of Holy Quran was revealed by Allah on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the prayers.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Musalli al-qiblatain does not mean I prayed towards both the directions. The whole community also prayed in addition to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Earlier, everybody used to pray towards Baytul Muqaddas. This is not the fadilat. The fadilat is to pray one prayers towards two qibla. That means you change the direction. You are so muti and obedient towards Rasulullah and the Imam and the Wali of the Muslimin, that you do what the Imam of Muslimin is doing. So when the Imam of Muslimin is changing his direction, is the obligation, it was the obligation of every Basir Mu'min to do what the Imam of Muslimin was doing. But they didn't have that Basirat, except Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he was the one who kept his prayers intact, and prayers of all the rest of the Muslimin became batil, who did not change their Qibla. So the way we change your Qibla, كذلك, that's used for tashbih in Arabic, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Likewise, we made you the أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, the mediocre ummah. Wasat in Arabic means something which is between the two things. So it's neither on that side nor on that side. It's in the middle. Anything which is in the middle of two things, literally speaking, is called wasat. And أُمَّةً وَسَطًا has been interpreted by some of the Mufassireen as follows, that Ummatan Wasata means the Ummat of Islam, the Muslim Ummah, and Muslim Ummah is called Ummatan Wasata by Allah, because this Ummat is not towards any of the two extremes, extreme of this side or that side, Ifrat or Tafreet. Instead, it is in the middle. So, extreme of shirk or extreme of kufr. This ummah is neither inclined towards the shirk nor towards the kufr. Although this tafsir is not accepted by Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi in Mizan, he says, no, this is not correct. Of course, ummatan wasata, is the mizan for checking and scrutinizing everyone, but this ummatan wasata does not mean all the people of Islamic Ummah who are, all the people of Islamic Ummah are not on the path of i'tidal and path, the mediocre path of Islam, which is away from ifrat and tafreet. In this ummat Muslimah, there are people who are fasiq, there are people who are non-pious, there are people who are munafiq, there are people who are who are involved in different kinds of shirk, and people who are doing bid'ats, and people who are tawaghit, they are Muslim tahut rulers in the same ummah, part of the same Islamic ummah. It includes a whole bunch of different categories of Muslims. How can you consider the entire Islamic ummah to be ummatan wasata? So Allama Tabatabai strongly and totally disagrees with this tafsir, that Ummatan Wasata actually means the whole Islamic Ummat. No way. Remember, the Holy Prophet had also said that, because one of the things which is mentioned in the tafsir by some Mufassireen is that there are some people who they are on one side, they are like Nasara, and the other side, they are mushrikeen. Just like the Holy Prophet had said in one of his hadith, that in Akhi Musa, Aynuhul Yumna Amya, wa in Akhi Isa, Aynuhul Yusra Amya, wa ana Dhu Aynain, that my brother Musa, his right eye is blind, and my brother Isa, his left eye is blind. Wa ana zu aynain, and I am the one who has both the eyes. So this hadith of the Holy Prophet, of course every hadith has a zahir and a batin. So our scholars and urafa, when they interpret this hadith of the Holy Prophet, they say that Prophet is trying to, maybe as an ihtimal, Prophet is trying to say that since the followers of Hazrat Musa, a lot of followers of Hazrat Musa were such that they took the path of Madiyat, running behind after this dunya, forgetting their ruh and ruhaniyat. So they are just taking care of the lazaiz and pleasures of this dunya, and the needs of the body, forgetting their soul. So, Yahud are towards Madiyat, and Nasara, the followers of Hazrat Isa, are towards, Ruhbaniyat. At least those people who claim to be the followers. I mean, of course, the real followers are the ones who will embrace Islam after the arrival of the Holy Prophet. Those are the real Yahud and real followers of Hazrat Musa, whom we respect. And the real followers of Hazrat Isa, whom we respect. Because after the, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they also have Iman in what you have Iman, then they are guided. So basically, those of the Yahud and Nasara, we respect the Yahud and Nasara, those of them who are on the path of the guidance. So when the guidance of the Holy Prophet arrives, and we have a Sharia and a book which is Nasikh, and it invalidates the previous law of God, and invalidates the previous books of Allah, which are no longer applicable after the arrival of the Holy Quran, it was wajib on them to accept the Holy Prophet and start following them. So those who didn't, we respect them, just like we respect the rest of the Muslims. So this is also, so Prophet says that Ana Dhu Aynain. So our scholars and Urafa say that one of the Ma'ani Ihtimal is that one of the meanings which Prophet means here is that I am the one. That means the followers of the Holy Prophet are the ones who have Dunya and Akhirat and Maddiyat and Ma'naviyat both, and Jism and Ruh both. Now this is what is specific to the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, when Shah was celebrating the 2500 years of Sultanate and Imperial regime in Takht-e-Jamshid, and Carter was invited there in Persepolis in Iran. At the same time when Shah was delivering a speech there, at the same time Imam Khomeini was delivering another speech, and in his speech at that time he recited the same hadith of Rasulullah which I just recited in front of you. You know, that Prophet said, my brother Musa is blind from one eye, and my brother Isa is blind from one eye, from his left eye. He is blind from his right eye, and he is blind from his left eye, whereas I have both the eyes. So, coming back to the same tafsir which we were discussing, Ummatan Wasata, it's very important to understand. So, basically, Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah alayhi says that the middle ummat, ummatan wasata, the middle ummat is, there are some, Allah provided this religion to the Holy Prophet, which those people who are mutadayyin and deendar and they abide by this religion, they belong to the straight path. So they don't have neither ifrat nor tafreet, none of those two extremes, and they take care of all the aspects of the human life. They take care of the ma'navi and maddi, all the aspects of human life, and basically their behavior is considered to be a mizan for checking the behaviors of all the humans on earth. Every human being on earth should scrutinize his behavior by looking towards Ummatan Wasata. Because it's the mizan, it's the yardstick, it's the criteria to judge what is right and what is wrong. This is the mediocre path. So if you look at those who are following the mediocre path of Rasulullah, that is how you can judge any kind of deviation towards right and wrong is problematic and unacceptable. So how the people of the whole earth can judge themselves? Look at the Ummatan Wasata. So isn't it important and important for us to understand who is Ummatan Wasata? Of course, entire Islamic Ummah cannot be Ummatan Wasata. Just like Allama Tabatabai said that they are tawaghit rulers, there are zalim rulers, there are fasid and fajir and corrupt people, part of and munafiq people, part of the same ummah. Isn't that right? There's so many munafiqeen in Islamic ummah, even in the time of Rasulullah. So the whole ummah of Islam cannot be what Allah is meaning in the word ummatan wasata in this ayat. And also we need to pay attention that Allah says in this ayat that كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. So similarly, we made you the ummatan wasata so that you can be witnesses over the people. وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ, and the Prophet can be عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا, a witness over you. So now coming to the point, this makes the point more clear that the ummatan wasata are those people who are witness over the people. So all the a'mal and actions that the entire humanity is doing, can the Islamic ummah, if you consider ummatan wasata means the whole Islamic ummah, everybody included, all the Muslims, if this tafsir is valid, can all the Muslim people, 1.6 billion Muslims, do they know the a'mal of the whole humanity? Who can say that I know the a'mal of the whole humanity? There are so many things which are done in khalwat which we don't even know. And we can only see the zahir if we are present next to that person. If the person goes away from our eyes, is ghaib away from, we don't know what he is doing. How can we be a shahid and gawah and witness over the amal of anybody who is away from our eyes? And it's not just, you know, those people which are in your society or in your neighborhood. It's, we are talking about the whole humanity. So this makes it more clear that ummatan wasata are those people who are shahid and gawah and witness over all the actions performed by all the human beings. Nothing is hidden from them. That's how you can be a shahid. You know, when you say a witness in front of a qadi, when you bring a shahid in front of a qadi, who can be a shahid in front of a qadi or a judge? Someone who saw the crime taking place. Isn't that right? If you did not see, are you eligible to be a shahid and gawah? When you were not even present at the time of the incident, how can you bear a witness? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you can be witnesses over the people. So when أُمَّةً وَسَطًا are the witnesses over the people, they are the shuhada, they are the shahid, it means that they have seen the actions taking place. They are seeing all the actions of all the people taking place. They are shahid over the a'mal. And that's how when you saw, then you can bear witness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? So, and also, in another verse of Holy Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also said, which is, because the matter of shahadat and witness over a'mal is something which is an undeniable haqiqat of the Holy Quran. Allah says in another, this verse, Surah An-Nisa, verse 41, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ. How about if we bring from every nation a witness? فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, and we bring you as a shaheed and witness over them. From every ummah, we bring a witness, and we bring you, that means you the messenger of Allah, Rasulullah, we bring you as a witness over these witnesses. So, and also in another verse of Holy Quran in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 84, Allah says, وَيَوْمَ نَبْعَثُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ شَهِيدًا. on the day when we are going to resurrect from every nation, from every ummah, a witness. ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْذَنُ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَلَا هُمْ يُسْتَعْتَبُونَ. And the kafirs will not be given permission, and their uzr and excuse will not be accepted. And also in another verse of Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 69, وَوَضِعَ الْكِتَابُ, book will be placed, وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ, and the prophets and the witnesses will be brought. So having witnesses is something which is undeniable haqiqat of Holy Quran, mentioned in several verses of the Holy Quran. And so being a witness requires that you have seen the amal at the time it was taking place. If you did not see the amal, you are ineligible to be called a gawah and witness. Look at this verse of Holy Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 117. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about Hazrat Isa says, وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ. Hazrat Isa says that I was a shaheed and witness over them, مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ, as long as I was in them, among them. مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And then when you made me die, after my death, you, that means Allah, were the raqib and muraqib and supervisor over them. وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And you are shaheed over everything, a witness over everything. So Hazrat Isa also clearly says, كُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ, as long as I was in them. So when you were in them, and when you were witnessing the amal taking place, that's that's how you can be a shahid over the amal of that set of people. So we find this verse of Holy Quran, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Muhaddis Bahrani in his tafsir has mentioned that this verse refers to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. In the sense that what Allah is trying to say, what Allah is saying in this verse is, كَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ. How about when we bring from every ummah, from every nation, a shaheed? So he says, all the nations, all the humanity will be divided into 12 segments, and one of the 12 imams is made a witness by Allah over each of those 12 segments of humanity. So each of our 12 imams is a shahid and gawah, Muhaddis Bahrani says, over those 12 segments of the entire humanity. And وَجَئِنَا بِكَ, and Allah says to the Holy Prophet, and we bring you, عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ الشَّهِيدًا. Prophet will be brought as a shahid and shaheed and witness over ha'ula, over the Ahlul Bayt, who are witness over the whole humanity. So this is this verse is proving the same shahadat and being a witness sifat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. And apart from seeing the amal of the people, our scholars also say that Allah is also going to hold us accountable about what we think in our hearts. Because somebody can come up and manipulate and say, well, I also saw the things done in front of me. Well, whatever things were done in front of you and you were a witness about whatever set of things, you are also a shahid about those things only. Yes. But we are not talking about those things only. We are talking about all the amal and actions of all the humanity. Right from day one of the creation till the last day of planet Earth. Which human you can find who can claim that I am a witness over all? You don't find anybody who can claim that I am a witness of all the actions done by all the people because they were done in front of my eyes. Shahidul Ayan, how we say in Arabic, you know. Gawahi ke bar chashmish dide bashar. Chashm did gawah. You have to be an eyewitness. An eyewitness means you have seen, you have eyed the incident with your eyes. And also in the Holy Quran, Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 225, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. So, Allah is going to hold you accountable. Allah is doing the mu'akhadha, hold you accountable. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. What your hearts, whatever you think in your heart, things that you that appear in your souls, things that appear in your heart. How can any human being come up and say, I can know what is available inside your ruh, inside your qalb? So there is no way a person can say that ummatan wasata means all the 1.6 billion people, all the Muslim ummah, all the entire Islamic ummah, because there is no way we can judge what is there, what is available in the qalb, in the qulub of the people, whereas Allah is going to hold us accountable for what we have even in the qulub. Not just our practical amal with our parts and limbs of the body, but even those of the things that we think in our heart. So this makes the concept of witness even more complicated. So who can be a witness has become harder. Now, we find that certainly, having said, when we are zeroing in on even the a'mal which are related to the qalb and soul of a person, whatever we have in our soul, so then the sa'adat and shakabat of a person, which depends on his spirituality, and the fawz and khusran of a person, whether a person is fa'iz, he's successful, or he's khasir, he's a loser in his life. These are things related to his soul. So, apparently even if you witness a person praying and fasting, it's not a sign that he is a fa'iz person, he's a successful person. He may be a khasir and loser. And lots of munafiqeen were and even today are praying. You know, I have mentioned so many times in my speeches, everybody was praying in Karbala also. Umar ibn Sa'd was leading on that side. Imam Hussain is leading on this side. So even if you witness the zahiri amal of a people doing amal and actions, and you are seeing that, is that sufficient for a person to say, I'm a witness? Even if you are witnessing the amal, it's not sufficient. Because you don't know whether these amal are causing the sa'adat for that person or not. Or they are causing shakabat of that person. How can you judge that? Unless you have access to his qalb. Unless you have access to his soul. So Allah has made it clear, لَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. So here the concept of witness becomes further obvious for us that the being a witness is not an easy job. So we find that this level of Ummatan Wasata belongs to our 12 Imams alayhimus salatu wassalam, and they are the ones who are the assigned witnesses on behalf of Allah, which the holy verse is talking about. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, which means the Ahlul Bayt, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And this has been mentioned in the same way, just like Allah says, Ya Bani Israel, azkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. O the children of Israel, remember my blessings that I blessed upon you. اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. And you know that I have made you, given تفضيل to you, given superiority to you over the people of the alameen. So again, our Mufassirin said that doesn't mean that all the Bani Israel have been given fadilat and superiority. No. How can it be? This is not what Allah says. Anni faddaltukum ala al-alamin does not mean that Allah has given fadilah to all the Bani Israel. The ayat means that there are some people available among Bani Israel who were given fadilat over alameen. And because of those ba'az, Allah is giving this nisbat towards the kul. Because it is allowed to give the nisbat towards the kul if the kul includes that ba'az. If the entire nation of Bani Israel includes those few personalities, it is allowed to give the nisbat towards the whole because of that ba'az included in that whole. Is it clear for you? In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a right to say, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Because in the Islamic Ummah, there are people available, there are some people available, which are of course our 12 Imams. There are some of those people available in the Islamic Ummah who have that level of being witness and shahid over all the actions of all the people from the beginning till the end and all the situations of their qalb. And I hope this discussion is not boring for you. So we find that in the light of this verse of Holy Quran, we have understood very clearly that our 12 Imams are witness over all the amal of all the people. And the Holy Prophet, وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا, and the Prophet can be witness, would be witness over you. So Prophet is witness over the Imams, and Imams are witness over the people. That's the way it is. So all the actions, and the hadith also informs us that تُعْرَضُ أَعْمَالُ الْعِبَادِ أَبْرَارِهَا وَفُجَّارِهَا كُلَّ صَبَاحٍ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. All the actions of all the people, the good doers and the bad doers, are presented before كُلَّ صَبَاحٍ, every morning, presented before Rasulullah. He is the commander-in-chief of the whole universe. So every single action done by all is presented every morning before Rasulullah. And right now, the deputy of Rasulullah, the commander-in-chief, is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
All our a'mal today, we believe that all our a'mal today are presented before Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And the hadith informs us about this. What I'm going to say is part of the hadith. That hadith says that when Imam alayhi salam finds that we have done sins, he feels sad about it. And when he finds that we have done good deeds, he becomes happy over it. Imam alayhi salam is the one who is praying for us. He never forgets us. He never is forgetting our behavior. If he had forgot us, we would have been devastated, without the lutf of Imam alayhi salatu wassalam.
آیا خوشنودی روح امام زمان صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد و آل
محمد. So امه وسطا includes that we have the امه وسطا is basically مؤتدل in every aspect, مؤتدل in terms of the aqeedah. So Mu'tadil, I think we don't have that much time, so I will drop these tafaseel which I have written. Maybe we can talk on some other day, inshallah. I think it would be, longer. So, let me just end up my speech here, that when we believe that the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are shuhada and witnesses, Prophet is witness over the A'immah, and A'immah are witnesses over the entire humanity. So, which proves the fact that that is precisely why we believe that the Holy Prophet is Wasatatul Fayb, all the faiz and barakat and ni'mats from Allah come to the Holy Prophet first, and then Prophet is the wasatatul faiz between Allah and the Imam, and the Imams are wasatatul faiz between the Prophet and the entire humanity, entire universe. So every ni'mat of Allah that we are receiving through the Imam of our time. And every ni'mat of Allah is the Imam of the time is receiving, he's receiving through Rasulullah. So this is the whole sequence. So see how Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, says that, you know, that Allamani Rasulullah Zakkan Zakkani Rasulullah Zakkan Zakka. And Prophet used to, you know, Prophet Ana Adibullah, Prophet says, Wa Aliyun Adibi Addabani Allahu Fa Addabtu Aliyan. This is Mazmoon al-Riwayah, that Allah trained me, provided me with the training of Islamic adab and akhlaq and Islamic, you know, teachings, and then I trained Ali. So ana adibullah man adab yafte be tawassut khodawandam, khodawand mara adab amugh, wa Ali aliyun adibi, Ali ibn Abi Talib be tawassut man adab amugh, main Allah ka ki taraf se تربیت یافتہ ہوں, اور اللہ اور علی میرے ہاتھوں سے تربیت یافتہ ہے. انا ادیب اللہ و علی ادیبی. That's exactly what we are talking about right now, that the Prophet is the shahid over all the imams, so he is the wasitat al-faiz. All the fuyuz of Allah come to the Prophet first and then reaches the Ahlul Bayt, and all the fuyuz and barakat and ni'mats of Allah come to us through the imam of our time, who is the wasi of Rasulullah. So we find that assalamu alayka ya bab Allah alladhi yu'ta minhu, salam to you, O the door of Allah through which it has been given. So Imam of the time is the door of Allah, is the Babullah, and that is exactly why they have this walayat taqweeniyya. So and even when they were used to talk about the ahadith of the Holy Prophet, teach the hadith, like Imam Sadiq alayhi salam delivering a speech or a lecture among his ashab, he used to frequently say that Qala Rasulullah, you know, the Prophet said this, Prophet said this, Prophet said this. He could have said that, you know, straight away that, well, I'm saying this and this and this. But we find frequently that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was used to say, Prophet said this, Prophet said this. Or, you know, sometimes in the ahadith you find one imam is saying, Sami'tu abi, yaqulu sami'tu jaddi, yaqulu sami'tu, you know, I heard from my father, saying that he heard from his father, and he heard from his father, and then from Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then Imam Ali says, Sami'tu Rasulullah yaqul. He could have said that the hukm of Allah is this and this and this. But why does Imam Ali says, Sami'tu ya Rasulullah yaqul? I heard Rasulullah saying that. This is the same wasatatul faiz, because the whole knowledge they have received through Rasulullah. So even when they are teaching the teachings of Islam, they are mentioning the wasata from whom they have learned the whole knowledge. So we find that in one of the ahadith, Imam Sadiq al-Islam has said clearly that we don't tell you anything from, in other words, from what we wish, from our hawa nafs, you know, khahishat nafsani or something, or what, from our own personal, from our own side. We are teaching you out of the ahadith, naknezuha an Rasulillah, kama yaknezu nasu zahabahum wa waraqahum. So we are, that's the Mazmoon al-Riwayah. So we are teaching you this from the ahadith of Rasulullah that we have treasured. Just like the people treasure the gold and silver, the gold and the notes. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, and to follow the footsteps of our beloved Prophet and the footsteps of Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. Waqdul al-Kuffar wa al-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Waqdul man khadal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfad wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin. Wa maraji'ana al-Rabbaniyin. La sayyim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur juyush al-Muslimin wa asakir al-Muwahidin. Allahumma fukka'an al-Usara'i al-Muslimin. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarza. وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الميامين.
اللهم